This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
Tim, I apologize, not to you, the listener, if any noise is being made right now. I started the show without properly adjusting my microphone.
This is a great start, Tom.
And we're too far in to restart it now, so.
We go live to tape. That's the coolest thing about this show.
Yeah, we got the big flashing live sign.
Yeah, and this is actually going out live.
A guy standing outside the door just shushing everybody.
Yeah, everybody walking
and then
by.
Pointing at the live sign.
Can't you idiots see?
It says on air. On air is the sign I was thinking of, not live. How are you doing this week?
Tom, I'm ready to rock and roll.
Well, you picked a great week to be ready for it, Tim, because we're talking about, I was going to say we're talking to one of the kings of rock. I didn't tell you, Mick Jagger's been in that closet all day.
Oh my God.
He's got to be hot.
Mick Jagger would not suffer our presence for more than 5 seconds.
I think he'd hide in a closet for like a good gag, though.
He's a prankster.
Yeah.
But he's also seemed like a guy that like doesn't have a good sense of humor.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so like he would pull a prank, but like
he could dish it out, but he can't take it.
Yeah. But also like, I think that his idea of what would be a funny prank would be like, oh, I replaced his prawns with scallops.
I was reading, I mean, we shouldn't be getting into things so quickly, but I was reading about, I think it was Keith Richards. Richards.
Okay. Richards. You've really done your research for this episode.
The episode's not about Keith's Richards. It's about Mick Jagger. But it was about Keith Richards saying like that Mick Jagger's like a, what was the word he used? Snob. He's like, he's just like a snob. And they were like, what do you mean? He was like, I don't know, sometimes we'll like be getting ready to like go on tour and like the first day and like we'll all be on our private jet and he gets on and doesn't say hi to any of us. It's like, yeah, what an asshole. Say hi. Say hi to the guys you've known
say
for
hi to Keith Richards.
50 years. Oh, sorry, Keith. I didn't recognize you there. I thought you were a houseplant.
I mean, you don't know what the dynamic is. They don't know each other anymore.
They don't know each other
anymore. They've all moved each
other.
On.
They know each other better than anyone.
Mm. You're kind of like that, Tom.
What do you mean?
Like if you come to if we're at the same party,
uh-huh.
We see each other. You're not like, hey, Tim. You're just like, oh, now Tim's here.
Well, that's why everybody else at the party is like, oh boy, it's just like Jagger and Richards.
Yeah, classic.
Classic. Then they're like, is it Richard or Richards? But it is Jagger's, right? Mick Jagger's?
How are you doing this week, Tom?
Tim, I'm doing good despite having a big disappointment happen to me this week.
Oh, no.
Tim, are you aware of a little scam, a little fraud being perpetuated by the LaCroix Seltzer Company?
Now, why is it LaCroix? Shouldn't it be LaCroix?
LaCroix? Because I'm not French, Tim.
All right.
You're lucky I'm...
Then why is it not LaCroix?
It could be.
Okay.
Or just LaCroix X.
Ooh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's hey. Something a certain billionaire mogul could get behind.
That's true. Yeah, maybe they're looking to get their company bought and destroyed.
I'm not familiar with the LaCroix situation to which you were referring.
Well, I mean, I don't know why you would be. It's very particular to me. And it is that the other day I was at the supermarket. And Tim, as you may or may not know, I now have one of these Drinkmate seltzer makers, just reminding me I've got to order more CO2. That's just my life.
Got you with the CO2.
gotta
get the cartridges.
It is weird though, like making your own seltzer at home. Just because you're like,
about snob. Oh, this guy makes his own seltzer at home. Got a regular Jagger over here.
It just makes me very aware of like when I make it, going like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? Why do I have to put this gas inside this water?
The water,
I know,
is,
but it tastes better.
Perfectly potable without the gas in it.
Yeah, I know it's portable too. I took it. I have it in a cup. I can bring it anywhere I want. Why do they have that topic on Jeopardy? Potent portables.
Right. What were you talking about?
So anyway, these fraudsters, they sell a flavor now.
LaCroix?
Yeah.
For your
seltzer. Just actual seltzer. So I don't buy seltzer at the store anymore, usually.
That's a fool's game.
Exactly. But
these poor saps out there.
I'm trying to buy a house, trying to save money by making my own seltzer instead of throwing it all away at the store. They sell a flavor of LaCroix seltzer now called Cola.
Cola.
And I thought all my prayers have been answered.
Oh my God.
Cola flavored seltzer. I stopped drinking soda because it's bad for you. But if seltzer can taste like soda,
just cola flavored seltzer. What is cola?
Cola is a nut. It's a type of nut.
So that doesn't imply carbonation.
No.
Okay.
Which is why Coca-Cola can sometimes be flat and it's still considered Coca-Cola.
Right, okay.
But if you take all the syrup out of it, no way, Jose. Now that's water you got there.
Seltzer, not if it's gone flat, yeah.
Yeah. Huh. If you had like some kind of like distillery to or desalinization, is that what it's called when you get the water out of the seawater?
Yeah, I think so.
And do that for soda. I can see this country being in a situation where we have to figure that out someday.
Oh yeah, I definitely think at some point our soda supply will vastly out.
Somebody's gonna make them save. Yeah, somebody's gonna make themselves a billionaire. They figure out the machine that can turn soda into water. But I bought this cola, Tim. It doesn't have any sweetness to it. It tastes awful.
Do you have any here?
Did you dump
it all down the drain?
No, I just drank the last one.
Oh, okay. You tasted it awful.
Yeah.
Would you buy a 12-pack?
An 8-pack.
Okay, 8-pack. What kind of world are we living in?
It's what they had available.
I know, I'm not criticizing you. Uh-huh. It's a 6-pack or a 12-pack, guys. 8-pack?
Yeah.
And why not a 9-pack?
Right in between. Well, 9-pack, that's crazy. Come on. How many different SKUs you expect them to carry? But I can get behind an 8-pack. I was glad I didn't buy it. I would have bought a 12-pack if they had it, and I would have been stuck with 4 more cans of this shit.
But then old Timmy could have gotten
a taste.
Yeah.
If there was a way to just like take any sweetness out of soda, if somebody needs to invent that machine one day for some reason. That's what this would taste
like. Well, LaCroix has perfected that, apparently.
Yeah, maybe they have access to this proprietary technology. I got so desperate one night, I put a couple of teaspoons of sugar in it.
Tom, just cut you, how much did this 8-pack cost?
I think it was like $8.
Okay.
I can throw it out. Let me also let you know a little secret. By the end, I think I started liking it. I think I came around
I
think I actually kind of like it.
All right, well, there you
go. I think I might go pick up another box tonight.
Is the flavor strong?
No, it's like, you know, the same strength as a LaCroix flavor. Yeah. So I guess it's that. It's the combination of it not being sweet in any way and not having a strong flavor to it. Because I also bought for my seltzer machine, like soda syrup. And I was making my own Pepsi One for a little bit. Is that what it's called now? No, Pepsi Zero? Pepsi Zero Sugar?
They went from Pepsi One to Pepsi Zero, huh?
Yeah, Pepsi Zero Sugar. And that if you had to be so exact with the syrup, if you had like a little bit less syrup than was what they told you, the whole thing tasted off. And if you put in too much, it didn't taste good either.
How are you putting the syrup? They're not like pods or something?
No, no. It's like a little bottle. And then it's like got it's just like a laundry detergent bottle where you take the cap off and then the cap's got a line to fill it up to.
So just do that. Just do it correctly.
That's what I was doing.
Just do it correctly, Tom. But the soda will come out fine.
It was made for a different type of seltzer system than I have.
You can't go off brand with the seltzer systems, Tom.
A few hundred grams or milliliters off.
You gotta work within the system, Tom.
I'm not gonna buy a new seltzer machine just so I could use this Pepsi
buy the
stuff.
Appropriate syrup.
They don't make it for my seltzer machine. It's fine. I just had to do some manual calculations and measurements.
You were up all night. Perfecting the soda.
I apologize if I sound a little
fiance
tired.
Up. Eureka!
Well,
this is the 45th batch.
She had she had been woken up multiple times by various explosions. That's actually true, Tim. Twice when I've used this seltzer maker,
it's
like
exploded
late at night when I'm like I'm tired and I'm like I should just go to bed. I'm not really paying attention. I'm like, oh, I'll have some seltzer. I don't screw it in all the way. And I press the button, which injects.
Wait, you're making late night seltzer?
Yeah, why not?
That's for warm milk, Tom. That's all you should be drinking after 9 p.m.
In fairness, I was making these late night seltzers, and twice catastrophe struck.
Yeah.
Press the button, and the thing wasn't attached all the way, so it put all the CO2 into the bottle, but then the bottle rocketed off the machine, and all the CO2 went up, all the water everywhere. Huge mess. The biggest mess you could imagine. Luckily,
this happened to you twice. You didn't learn your lesson the first time.
Well, it happened like within enough time had passed.
It happened
I've
within
forgotten.
5 minutes of each other.
But you know, it's just water and CO2. The CO2 goes into the air. Plants eat it, breathe it in. The water dries.
Yeah, you're doing your part.
Yeah. It's too much to just leave, though. I still have to like mop up everything. Sucked, and especially when
you
I'm
didn't
like,
try to suck the CO2 out of the air with a
no,
vacuum.
And I'm doing this at like 2 o'clock in the morning, like an idiot. I should just go to bed.
Yeah, what making seltzer at 2 o'clock in the morning? You got to reevaluate your life, Tom.
What? It's fine to drink seltzer late at night. Where are you, some Victorian ill child?
No,
you'll be up all night with the bubbles in your stomach.
It's fine to drink, but like you don't
it's
need
fine to
be to
drink it, but not make it.
Yeah, you don't need to be go to bed. It's
but
2 o'clock
I
in the morning,
it,
you psycho.
If I want something and I can make it, why don't I make it? It's not that hard to make it.
Stop wanting it at 2 a.m. Go to bed. Time to
it's
wake up.
It's not hard to make it. It's just that it's hard to sometimes pay enough attention to everything and not have it explode.
I mean, if you're too tired to properly operate a seltzer making machine, go to bed. You don't need to make that seltzer.
Nah,
make the seltzer in the morning.
Well, morning seltzer? Were you nuts? Tim, I could carbonate anything with this thing. Can I tell you that?
Yeah. I think many, many times on this show.
So far, the only other thing I've carbonated in it besides seltzer is soda.
You've made
extra carbonated soda. Yeah.
Have you tried carbonating hot coffee?
You can't carbonate hot things.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I bet you could.
Yeah.
But like, they just don't want what happened to you at 2 o'clock
well,
in the morning.
I mean, yeah, that's a big part of it. But I think it's because like these bottles, you know, if they get hot, then it like
warps them. Probably,
yeah, it could ruin the integrity of it.
Let me ask you this:
The bottles have expiration dates.
Have you? Oh, well, okay.
Because like they wear out after a certain amount of time.
Have you carbonated iced coffee?
No, and I keep meaning to.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's a reason why, like,
why you
that's
don't see
not
that often
packaged.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I've had carbonated iced coffee. I feel like, but not. Yeah, it's not like a common thing.
Have you?
Yeah.
This is one of your stories about how you, I got dough from a pizza place and made pizza at home.
No, I'm...
I had carbonated iced coffee. I don't remember any details about it, though.
No, like out of a can from... Tim, you know me. If I saw something in a fridge and it was like, oh, carbonated coffee, I'll try that.
I take that back. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. And I don't remember it being anything to write home about. Yeah. Now, the Coca-Cola they used to make for the morning, that was good.
The morning.
Yeah, I think it was called Coke Black.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it was like coffee flavored or just like, or was it just Coca-Cola that they were just like, hey, I love when marketing teams decide that something's okay now. And it's just like, hey, this is soda in the morning's cool now. Yeah. It's a thing. We put it in a can and it says morning. So.
Hey, guess what? It's all right to have four meals. Come to Taco Bell at 2 o'clock in the morning.
There are these there's this dishwashing detergent commercial where it's like, you know what you should do? Even if there's one dish in your dishwasher, run the dishwasher every single night. Yeah. It's better for everybody.
Yeah, and use one of our pods every time you do it.
But like they act like, and like, me, like, growing up, being brain poisoned by all this stuff, I'm like, well, the TV said it. Like, they must have done some new studies.
Yeah. They don't just want me to buy more detergent.
Yeah, I mean, they're the experts. They must have done the research.
If I'm using a bunch of water and electricity. Which don't mix, by the way.
No. Did you figure that out at 2 a.m.
Found that out, though. Yeah. Tim, we're talking this week about a little man with a lot of promise.
Yeah, a lovable lad from Liverpool.
No, he's from, where's he from?
England.
He's from one of those other places in England you've heard of. Oxford or...
Kent.
Kent.
Dartford, Kent.
Dartford, yeah.
It might be a misprint. I think it's Hartford.
Hartford, Connecticut. The most famous man from Hartford, Connecticut.
We, of course, are talking about Mick Jagger.
Mike, Tim, he goes by Mick now.
I know, but that's ridiculous. This guy, this is audacious from the get-go.
Okay, yeah.
His name is Michael Philip Jagger.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, I want to sound more exotic.
Yeah, I have it in my notes here.
I'm going to go by Mick. No, you can't just do that. Mick is not short for Michael.
I think it can be, but it's just not normally used. Oh yeah, here it is. As a student at the London School of Economics, a nice boy named Mike Jagger.
London School of Economics. First of all, come on, big red flag here.
Changes.
No, this guy's cool.
Well, I mean, he's a billionaire now, so that degree. Actually, I don't know if he graduated, but Mike Jagger changes his name to conjure up a little faux Irish salt of the earth cred.
Right.
But
faux salt of the earth.
Faux Irish salt of the earth. He is salt of the earth, but he's Irish. But his family still calls him Mike. But I don't know if that, I guess his kids probably call him dad.
Does his great grandchild call him Mike?
Probably. I mean, his great grandchild, I assume, is a full grown man at this point. Well, Tim, to that point, I don't know if I mentioned this, he turned 80 years old this week.
80 years young.
That's why we're celebrating him.
And he's still strutting around like an asshole.
He is.
Are you a Stones guy? Are you a Beatles or Stones guy?
I don't have like a horse in the race, I guess. Like there are Rolling Stone songs that I really like, but
Salt of the Earth.
Is that one of their songs?
Yeah, it's like, let's hear it for the salt of the earth.
What
like,
about that like, song, Let's Hear It for the Boys?
That's not him, but
is that
not
the Pointer
Stone.
Sisters?
No.
Who is that?
AJ was obsessed with that song.
It's a good song.
Hear it for the boy. It's Denise Williams.
Oh, okay. Anyway, we're not talking about Denise. That's next week.
We should be. Yeah, that's, she's turning 80 next week.
We're talking about Mick Jagger. Tim, do you think it's crazy that this man's 80 years old?
No.
Because, I mean,
he's been old my whole life.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
But then I think, like, because this kind of happened with, like, David Bowie. When David Bowie died, it was like, oh, shit, these guys can die? Huh? Mm. Because it's like, oh, these people were already, like, the biggest names in music by the time we were born. And stayed, you know, about as relevant as he can within all this. And
you know, the thing that sucks about these 60s guys, these bands.
All right, so we're talking about men in their 80s.
There's these bands that came out in the 60s and they sound all like cool and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And they got
and they're like, hey, man, get this. I smoke grass.
Yeah. They smoke grass. They neck in parking lots.
Premarital sex.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know if they ever went that far.
Yeah, I don't want to smear these guys.
And, like, the music sounds cool, and then the 70s happen, and the ones that stay together do a lot more drugs, and they get, like, you know, a lot more, like, hey, cock rocking, right?
Excuse me?
You know what I mean? Like,
they do a lot more drugs, and they get a lot more, hey, cock rocking.
You know what I mean? No. You obviously don't know what I mean. Okay, so, like, in the 60s, they all have, like, their blues.
Yeah, and like more melodic.
And then they have like their psychedelic periods, uh-huh. And they have like their country-ish periods.
Yeah.
And then like the 70s come. This happened to the Kinks too.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts going like, boom, 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 and we're rocking, rocking, like that kind of shit. Like,
uh-huh.
I don't know. I guess it's specific to the Rolling Stones. They get like...
You don't like their 70s stuff.
I like, it's just, it's got this swagger to it, which is just like all this sexual energy and stuff, like singing about having sex and their sexual prowess and stuff. And then in the 80s, but this is the thing.
Which is also funny because like looking back at that stuff, it's like, these guys were in their 30s.
Yeah.
Like, they probably were like, I can't make my wiener hard anymore.
What are your 30s like?
That happens to some men in their 30s, especially these men. Yeah,
he's
Mick Jagger.
He's running around like an asshole to this day.
Yeah, but maybe he couldn't get a boner,
it's when you see him strutting around on stage these days, it's like,
it's all boner.
Dude, you can't do that. You can't do the Viagra before the show.
Yeah, come on.
Well, I was saying
the people in the front row are getting hit by that thing.
Whatever. So there's this sound in the 60s and it's somewhat carried through the 70s. But then all these guys in the 80s.
Yeah.
Like turned to like all the like the music that they made was so terrible. And it was like, if you had the technology to make like drums sound like that and like use these types of synthesizers in the 60s, you would have used those. And it would have sounded so bad, and all those cool albums would have like sucked so bad. So like, you didn't have good taste. You weren't good. You were just limited. They didn't have all this technology.
Well, I think in the 80s, a lot of these guys, I think especially people like them, the 60s rockers that in the 80s are 40 plus,
right?
We're pushing 40 at least in other people's cases. That's when they're like, oh shit, like all this new music's coming out, we're gonna be left behind.
The Eurythmics are eating my lunch.
Exactly. So they're like, we gotta catch up, we gotta do it too. And I don't know, you know, they buy drum machines that they don't really know how to use.
Yeah, but they have people in the studio.
Yeah, but they have people.
They know drummers, too. Charlie Watts.
Well, oh, yeah. But I'm just saying they get stuff and they're not, they get the fancy new high-tech stuff, but they don't know how to do anything interesting with it because it's just not what they're used to.
Yeah.
But they use it anyway. And then, yeah, they put out stuff that sounds like shit years later. Because it just
shit at the time, and only I was calling them out as 5 years old.
They're like, this new Stones album sounds like shit. They should knock it off with all the synths.
So you're not a Stones guy?
No, I'm not into any old bands.
You want to know something cool?
I'm only into the new bands.
You want to know the coolest answer I ever gave?
What's that?
I was being interviewed for the New York Post.
Wow.
For an old band that I was in.
Uh-huh.
They were doing a little feature.
You were going to say, I was being interviewed for an old man I saw fall onto the subway tracks.
Yeah. No, that was years later.
Uh-huh.
and they asked, like, because, like, it was, I was being a mouthpiece for the band, because, like, everybody else in the band was a friggin' moron. It was like, don't talk to, and, not AJ. AJ was cool. and Billy. That's it. And they were like, Beatles or Stones. You want to know how cool I was?
What'd you say? I said, Radiohead.
I said, the Kinks.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Did they fall off their chair?
They were like, I don't think this interview is printable. I think we'll get so many letters.
Stop the presses.
Yeah, no, sorry.
They said that hours later after they had already started running them. Somebody realized their mistake. Wow.
Yeah.
Blown away. So I shouldn't even ask if you're a Stones guy. Yeah, you'll just tell me you're into the Kinks.
I like them all. You don't like any old bands? You only like new bands? I think you like exclusively old bands. But like
I only like brand new bands. I don't like bands from before I was alive. Not that I don't like them. It's just that I never got
relevant to you.
Yeah, I just like never went through a phase. Like I know a lot of people our age in like high school went through a phase of getting like real into like 60s and 70s bands. Mm. And I just never did that really.
Just went home and piddled your pud.
Yeah, I just went home and piddled my pud, played Mortal Kombat instead.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back with more Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
Talk.
He's not here.
He's not here. I do want to give an update. He did not graduate from the London School of Economics.
He dropped out
to join the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
After meeting Keith Richards on a train platform.
You know, I was reading about that anecdote. And
you think you're calling it into question?
A little bit, just because apparently Mick was carrying a couple of blues records and Keith was on his way to art college. Mick was on his way to LSE and they start chatting when Keith sees the Muddy Waters and Chuck Berry albums and the rest is history. But they went to school together. They knew each other. They went to like a grade school and high school together.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. That's not what I heard.
Right?
I heard they met on a train platform. Or did they reconnect?
Yeah, they reconnected. That's what it was. And that's why to me it's like when you hear that initial story, you think like, oh man, so like if one of them were late or one like the Rolling Stones would have just never happened. It's like, it might have still happened. They might have just run into each other the next day at the train and like,
yeah.
And they did know each other.
And that's also like, that's anything.
Yeah. Not anything.
Yeah, but you ever see that movie things. Sliding Doors, Tom?
Yeah, I've seen the movie Sliding Doors.
Gwyneth Paltrow's life was wildly different, whether or not the doors slid or not. I didn't see it. Somebody missed a train, right?
I think Gwyneth Paltrow missed the train. Yeah, I think that those sense. Were the titular sliding doors.
Yeah.
But yeah, regardless, they met each other, but it was mostly Brian Jones that like put the band together, and then they kicked him out of the band, and then he died.
Died in a pool, Tom.
Yeah, drowned in a pool. But apparently he was like a... It is interesting, reading some of these old timers when they ask them about, like, you know, stuff that's happened so long ago. And even this was like 20 years ago. I think somebody asked Mick Jagger, like, did you feel bad? I think the implication being like, did you feel bad that like he killed himself because you kicked him out of the band? And he was like, and that's not how they asked it, but he was like,
and this is like 30 plus years.
Yeah. And he was like, of course I felt bad that he died, but he's like, I don't regret kicking him out of the band. He was an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, he wanted to go in a completely different direction than the rest of us. And like, he got mad because like, you know, our management agreed with us and obviously what they were doing worked. It's not like, oh, if only
they were better with him in it.
Oh, yeah, but I'm saying, like, if he were calling all the shots...
Yeah, well, then they wouldn't, Tom, turn to that cock rock.
They might not.
The aforementioned cock rock.
Maybe
the
they would have made a turn towards cock rock even earlier.
That wasn't Brian Jones's style.
You don't know. He didn't live long enough. He wasn't around in the 80s. Maybe he would have been like,
he would have been insufferable cock rock. In the 80s, yeah.
Yeah, he might have been really
into
cock rock.
He would have gone to, like... beyond the depths of
cock rock.
I don't think it would be cock rock. I think he would like get so experimental.
Yeah, that would just be like unlistenable.
And like, you know, when like old people get experimental, it's like,
yeah.
And interesting. You're just fiddling around.
Yeah.
You know when old people get experimental, as if that's a thing.
No, it is, because sometimes, like, I feel like old performers that have been around for a while that have never gotten experimental, like, in their 60s, they're like, I'm going to get experimental. It's like, nah, you waited too long to get experimental. This is no good.
I saw Elvis Costello a few months ago at a really cool show, like, an intimate show, and, like, it was, like, part of a career retrospective. Everyone was nude, and everybody was sitting on somebody else's lap.
Wow, that's about as intimate as it gets.
And caressing each other. Mm-hmm. Nothing sexual about it.
From my understanding of biology, that's as intimate as it gets.
And, you know, in the middle of, like, acoustic guitar songs and piano, he, like, went over to, like, a synthesizer with, like, a loop pedal and, like... just played like this, and it was like,
hey, you got Johnny Greenwood over here.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, and it was like a reimagining of a song from like 1981, and it was like, you're too old to be doing this.
Like, look, if
I appreciate your open-mindedness here, right. But like, please don't do this.
Yeah.
It's scary. He was just making scary noises, like haunted house noises for like 5 minutes.
Tim, I mean, how old is Elvis Costello now?
I'm going to say 74.
Okay, yeah, so he's up there too. Tim, it's very possible he was just trying to turn something off and all that happened.
He did look panicked. Oh, no, I apologize to Declan McManus, age 68.
68, all right. Yeah. That's Elvis Costello's real name?
Yeah, Tom, didn't you know? I bet you didn't even know Mick Jagger's name was Mike Jagger.
I thought Elvis Costello was Lou Costello's son this whole time.
Back to Mick Jagger.
He became a great grandfather 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was trying to wrap my head around this.
So when he was 70.
Yes. But I was trying to like do the math, or not, I guess, do the math, but figure this out, because he had a son last decade, like 2016 or something.
All these guys, you know, De Niro's the same thing. They're having, they, and or is it Pacino?
Pacino. Well, and Pacino's,
they're having kids now, but they also have grandkids. It's like,
yeah,
you guys can't live like this. This isn't fair.
I mean, in Pacino's defense, it sounds like he was from, you know, like the tabloids I've read. He was like legitimately like terrified about all this happening, that it was like, he'd only like slept with his girl. I don't know if it was even really like his girlfriend, but he like only slept with her, it sounds like, maybe once or twice, and like just kind of assumed like, I'm too old for anything to work. Well, and then it did.
Viral.
Yeah.
It's one thing I know about Pacino. Also, like, he's just like a hunched over little guy.
Oh,
now.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a good dad. He'll be around for a long time. But I was going to say, the thing I was having trouble wrapping my...
My son was born when I was 39, and I was like, oh, no, this is fucked up.
I won't be around to for his fifth birthday at this rate. So Mick Jagger has a son, a less than 10-year-old son,
mm-hmm.
who is a great-great uncle already, I think is the way it works out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a great uncle?
No, what I read was great-great uncle, which I was like, great-great uncle?
Is there such thing as a grand uncle?
That's a great uncle.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's what they're makes it confusing.
Okay.
But they're not, because then there's a great-grandfather.
Right.
You're right. There should be a grand uncle and a grand aunt.
Right.
I think that's what makes it confusing, because he's really a great grand uncle.
Right.
But that doesn't make sense, because Mick's only a great grandfather. He's not a great great grandfather, I don't think.
I mean, you're telling me this stuff.
There's
so much about
there's a lot of misinformation
around family trees that I don't understand. And once a year, it's explained to me how to do second cousins and once removed.
Uh-huh.
And I understand it. It's like, oh, okay. So yeah, one of them is up and one of them is over, right? Like,
right.
That's how it works on the tree. But I never understand how it's applied. Like, 5 minutes after, I do understand it.
Once removed is just like, if it's your first cousin once removed, that means either one of your parents' first cousin or one of your kids' first cousin. They're once removed, one generation removed.
Okay.
Is so it's
going up the
means.
Tree.
Yeah.
And but then second and third
second
goes
is
across
your,
the tree.
Yeah, is okay. Your like your parents' cousin's kids.
I feel like this is stupid that we're talking about this. The week after we completely failed trying to explain alternate side of the street parking. And now we're like, oh,
and
let's
now
explain
how
another concept that like would benefit from a visual element.
And that we have like a loose grasp of.
I have no grasp of it.
So, yeah, Mick's got 8 kids from 5 different women. Only been married once, though. Married and divorced once.
To whom?
Some lady.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it was like I think in the 70s. I mean, it was also like I, you know, while he was married, he was constantly cheating on her. And
no.
Damn, it's true. Isn't it crazy that I mean, I guess it's not crazy. It makes a lot of sense, but that Mick Jagger is with that woman Jerry Hall for
that's
a long
what
time.
I'm just just making sure I got all the things. And then she's like, okay, I'm going to move on to
Rupert Murdoch.
Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess if you're used to a certain lifestyle,
yeah,
and maybe she was like, this lifestyle isn't cutting it for me anymore. I need to step up a rank. You go to old Rupert.
Yeah.
He's a handsome man.
Yeah, there are reasons to hang out with Rupert Murdoch that have nothing to do with this money.
Yeah.
A pleasant fellow.
Yeah, charming.
Looks great.
Charming, witty guy. Charlie Watts.
Yeah.
Charlie Watts, got married before the Rolling Stones started. Married until he died. To the same woman.
A good man, and he always wore a suit.
He did. Well, not when he was asleep.
No, it's because been debated.
There's that story about him, Mick Jagger calling him up and being like, I need my drummer here. And Charlie getting out of bed, shaving, putting his suit on, and then going and punching Mick Jagger in the face.
Yeah. Do we think that story is true? It's cited in so many places.
I know. Yeah. I imagine it might be like embellished, like, yeah, you might not have actually like punched him in the face, but the what did he say? Like, I'm not your drummer, you're my singer.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. He also, rest in peace, Charlie mm-hmm. Watts.
Yeah.
He would, when he hit the snare drum on the backbeats,
mm-hmm.
he wouldn't hit the hi-hat.
Explain that again.
It is a weird, like, so if you're keeping time on the uh-huh. hi-hat, like, you know, most drummers would be like, he'd be like he'd
yes,
stop.
Yes, he would stop.
And so the people were like, oh, what, can he not do two things at once? It's like, no, the snare drum cuts through more that way.
Yeah.
Also, he couldn't play.
Also, he couldn't do two things at once.
He died because he tried to chew gum while playing the drums.
Walking down the street. All right. More Mick Jagger talk, Tim. I already mentioned, he's got a great uncle for a kid, a great great uncle for a kid, which is wild stuff.
How many kids does he have?
Eight children. The youngest was born, December 8th, 2016, to his girlfriend, American ballerina Melanie Hamrick. But I don't know how old. I believe he like started having kids in the 70s. So, yeah, I mean, if he's already a great-grandfather.
Yeah. How do you feel about all this strutting around on the stage?
Tim, what were you, a concerned mom in 1960?
No, I think, like, everybody's like, look at him, he looks great. And he's doing, like, first of all, he looks like a monster. Right?
He's
lurching around on stage, and everybody's like, "Oh, so sexy!" It's like, no, it's a freak show.
He looks like a Muppet monster.
Yeah,
like not a scary monster.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like a funny monster. And I mean, he's always.
But people are like, oh man, the way he's moving his hips, man, that's sexy. It's like, that's gross.
I don't know if people are saying, oh, that's sexy.
They are.
Tim, who?
Freaking like
my
journalists.
Wife. I never hear the end of it.
No, you hear like, hey, Mick Jagger's.
The lady on the news says it.
No, in like reviews of like when the Rolling Stones go back on tour, you always hear this shit. Don't act like you don't hear like, oh, look at Mick. He's strutting around the stage, sexy as ever.
I know they say they talk about him strutting around and like, especially for his age, like that being crazy that he can.
No,
like,
they act like it's like not just for his age. Like he's as good as freaking who's a young person.
He's as good as one of those young people. I haven't heard people.
He's graded on a curve, and everybody acts like he's not graded on a curve. He's an old man, mm-hmm. and he like does that thing that where he like he puts one hand behind his back, kind of sassy, and leans forward and like does this thing, and they're like, "Oh my god, can you believe the charisma this guy has on stage?" It's like, yeah. He moves around pretty well for an 80-year-old, but like the things that he's doing are embarrassing up there.
If that were your great-grandfather up there doing that, you would be humiliated.
Yeah, there's some 10-year-old that's like, great-grandpappy. Great-grandpappy Mike, it's really embarrassing me up there.
I don't, because like I said, I just don't think people are saying he's sexy. I think
you
it's more,
are absolutely wrong, Tom.
I don't hang out with the weird crew that you do then.
Tom, I hang out with a bunch of old ladies.
these old ladies, they can't get enough.
I can't believe
of
I'm getting pushback on this from you.
I've only heard people remark about, like, it's crazy that he can still move like that. But
right.
And I don't think anybody's pretending like he's not being graded on a curve.
Oh, they are. They're still like, oh, still the greatest front man in rock and roll, even at 80 years old. No, he's not.
Then who is?
Freaking
Elvis Costello. He can't even turn his amp off.
Yeah, to mix
dude, was this at the end of the show that all this stuff was happening with the loop pedal?
No, it's right in the middle. It's actually kind
of
cool.
The rest of the band had left the stage.
No,
the
house lights had turned on. That's the thing. It was a solo show, Tom. It's just him on stage. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm going to move over here. This is whole synth setup. And all the lights turned down low. It was scary.
So, like, if I were him, the first thing I would have done is play a few bars of Phantom of the Opera when I got over. Yeah.
Yeah, he sat down and went, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Nice. Did he really?
No.
Oh, okay. That would have been cool, too.
That's practically Phantom of the Opera.
This is why I don't go to more concerts. I want to hear some scary songs.
Can you name 5 Rolling Stones songs, Tom?
Jumpin' Jack Flash.
Okay, there you go.
Gimme Shelter.
All right.
Sympathy for the Devil.
Okay.
Paint It Black. Mother's Little Helper.
Wow, there you go.
Yeah. Oh, and Anybody See My Baby?
Oh yeah, off of their Voodoo Lounge album.
No, that or was that Road to Babylon?
Bridges to Babylon. Jesus Christ! No, it was Voodoo Lounge.
Okay. It is funny because that song famously they gave writing credit to Katie Lang for Constant Craving, which is a banger of a song too.
I like that you say famously. We like nobody, even the biggest Rolling Stones fans. That's like a footnote. It just happened to be hit at a time when we were watching MTV a lot.
Yeah, like, and MTV
well,
News.
Kurt Loder.
He interrupted Beavis and Butthead to tell us about it. But it is funny because, like, that happens so much now.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was like a scandal.
Yeah.
At the time.
But apparently it was their decision.
I mean, it was their decision when it was like, she can sue.
Well, here's what Keith Richards said in his autobiography, Life. My daughter Angela and a friend were at Redlands, which is like some fucking castle he lives in. And I was playing the record, the new record, they start singing this totally different song over it. They were listening to Katie Lang's Constant Craving. It was Angela and her friend that recognized it. The two gave Lang credit along with her co-writer Mink. Lang said she was completely honored and flattered by receiving the songwriting credit.
Tom, and I gotta hand it to you.
Mm-hmm.
That was not on Voodoo Lounge. That was on Bridges to Babylon.
I told you it was on Road to Babylon.
that's not the name of the album, Tom. We were both wrong. We were both equally wrong.
No, that doesn't sound like we were equally wrong. But at least according to him, I could also see like Keith Richards having that story. And it being like, yeah, that was like 5 years after that we had already told them, like, hey, so they're suing us. We're going to just give them writing credit.
Yeah. That was a cool video, though, right? There
yeah,
was a giant woman walking
Everybody was
around.
Gigantic in it. It was black and white. Yeah. Even the Rolling Stones themselves were gigantic in it.
Hey, they're larger than life personalities, huh?
Well, that was also like in the 90s, which I feel like that was...
You laughed at me for saying cock rock. Uh-huh. They literally in the 70s had a giant inflatable penis on the stage with them.
Did it play rock and roll music?
Well, they were playing rock and roll music around it.
I don't know if that makes a cock rock, unless the cock's also involved in playing it. No, I was going to say, I feel like this was the time in the 90s when bands like the Rolling Stones were kind of making their like last ditch effort to be like pop culturally relevant. I mean, of course, they're like always, but I'm saying like their new music being relevant, you know?
In the 90s?
Yeah, like still making like big budget music videos.
Oh, yeah.
And
you can tell they were trying to be relevant because you know who... there were several producers on anybody seen my baby, but one of them, or the Dust Brothers, were produced that album. And like 1997, you go to the Dust Brothers because you want to be relevant.
Yeah. But that's what, so how is that different than, like, you know, what people like them were doing in the 80s, buying some synths and making bad music?
I just think that it proves that, like, the aesthetic of their 60s stuff was only due to the limitations of technology, and they would have screwed it up if they had other toys to play
with. I see what you're saying. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Like, I don't think they were like, hey, this sound is pretty good. It's like, this is the sound these instruments make, and there are no other instruments that we that are at our disposal. So, like, this is the sound that we're going with.
Yeah, yeah, and it's not necessarily that they were like, no, this we want to be raw and real.
Yeah, except for, like, Brian Jones, who at the time was like, let's put a marimba and, like, you know, whatever on this. Yeah,
because they never, like, I feel like, you know, in our day, like, Radiohead went through, you know, a transition of getting, like, real into electronic music, but they, like, kept at it and then, like, kind of went back, kind of, like, melded what they used to do with what the new stuff they were doing in later albums, where I feel like bands like the Rolling Stones is like, yeah, they fucked around with synths in the 80s and then they were like, forget it. Like, they never went back to trying to do anything, you know, like, interesting or cutting edge.
They have had albums, though, since
'90s
run, right?
But I'm saying that I think that was, like, one of the last times that they were trying to, like, I don't know, hit number one or whatever.
Speaking of strutting around on stage, Mick Jagger had freaking heart surgery.
Yeah.
In 2019, maybe? Yeah, 2017.
Not that long ago.
And okay, hold on. 2019.
Yes.
He had heart valve replacement surgery. Mm-hmm. They postponed their tour, but then months later, he was strutting around all sexy, like, slinking around on the stage.
Like nothing had ever happened.
Yeah. But also, like, look, if it were you or I, and it's like, we had surgery, even major surgery, doing what Mick Jagger does on stage, they would have been, like, unremarkable, even at our ages, right? Like,
I don't know. I feel like Stones concerts are probably pretty long at this point. Right?
Maybe. I don't know. They're all old.
Yeah, but
are, like, they still touring now?
I don't know if they're currently touring, but I don't think they've, like, written off, like, ever going on tour again.
Yeah, well, one of them is 80.
Yeah. Well, one of them's dead.
I mean,
multiple of them are dead.
Yeah, exactly.
Technically. No, and Keith Richards is also 80 or about to turn 80.
He's indestructible.
You know what's funny? I was not to talk
how
too much.
How we just revere these drug addicts.
we're
just shitty to everybody around them.
Not to talk too much about Keith, but I was reading about. Do you remember? Like, because I feel like this is a big story. In 2006, he fell out of a coconut tree. Well, apparently he didn't fall. It wasn't a coconut tree. It was just a branch of a dead tree. But he had to, like, undergo cranial surgery at New Zealand Hospital. Like, it was bad. Like, I think, and, like,
he fell out of a tree and he was in his 60s.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like landed on his head. But I just remember it being, like, the biggest punchline, and then, like, reading about it, it's like, oh, it sounds like this was, like, major surgery he had to have.
He shouldn't have fallen out of a tree and been a famous guy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's more like, you know, when you're in your
60s. What was he
60s,
doing up there?
Yeah, don't go climbing up trees, coconut or otherwise.
Yeah.
I do find it, like, I was reading a lot about their relationship between Mick and Keith.
Yeah, it's fraught.
Yeah, love-hate relationship.
Yeah.
But one of the things that's, I mean, there's a bunch of things that are crazy. These people were just awful to each other.
They're awful to everybody. They're bad people.
There is a movie, this movie Performance in 1970. The movie begins with Mick and Anita. There's Anita Pallenberg, who was dating Keith at the time. The movie begins with Mick and Anita in the heat of passion. And as actors, these two are extremely devoted to the spirit of cinema verite. So they make the sex extra realistic by having sex. The day they film these scenes, on the other side of town, her boyfriend Keith Richards is in an understandably dark mood. The song he writes that day, Gimme Shelter.
Wow.
But it's like, first off, you're not supposed to have sex with people in movies unless it's
a porno.
It happened
in the freaking 70s all the time.
I know. But this is like your buddy's girlfriend. Don't have sex with...
Wait. Oh, who's the prudish grandma now?
Well, you guys are going to be at the premiere, and he's going to be like, oh, I can't wait to see this movie you and my girlfriend made together. What the hell? He's going to be shocked.
Yeah, I mean, I think he knew because he wrote Give Me Shelter. He's also upset about it.
Yeah, but upset, but he's like, hey, nothing I can do about it. It's the 70s. People want to have sex in a movie.
He knew that, like, I'll have sex with somebody important to him at some point.
Yeah, basically, I think. Yeah, before...
have sex with his great-grandchild one day.
Before, I guess Keith was with this woman, Anita Pallenberg, she was involved with Brian Jones. And Keith and her became a couple because they all went on vacation to Morocco, and Brian Jones had to cancel going because he didn't feel well. So, she was just like, oh, I guess I'll start dating Keith.
You've
instead.
Seen Almost Famous. These women were traded for cases of beer.
Yeah. When I saw
women were not treated well.
When I saw this Back to the Future, the musical, the lead playing Marty.
Mick Jagger.
No, I played the lead in the Almost Famous musical, the short-lived musical. The weird guy sitting next to us told us that while we were trying to get him to stop talking to us.
During the show?
No, before the show. Oh. He's just talking a lot about Broadway. That I found interesting. but it was just the weirdest thing. We sat down and he's like, hi. And we're like, hi. And he's like, have you seen the...
Was he there alone?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he was like, have you seen the film this is based on? And, like, I thought he was joking because it's like, yeah.
Because he was just like Marty McFly.
No, but, like, half the audience was. And, like, the thing's still in previews. It's like, yeah, of course. That's why we're here. And we were like, yeah, have you? And he's like, I saw it once when it came out. It's like, so, like 40 years ago.
He's like
saw
a
it?
Broadway guy.
Yeah, he's a Broadway guy.
Tom, friend of the show, Marika.
Mm-hmm.
She'll go see anything on
Broadway.
Yeah, but
she is aware of, like, other entertainment.
Yeah, I know, but Tom, not everybody.
This guy's only seen Back to the Future once in almost 40 years.
Yeah, he's not you. He doesn't own a replica hoverboard that he paid $100 for online.
It was more than that.
How much was it?
It was like $200.
Why did you buy it?
I tried to cancel my order and they wouldn't let me.
It's been sitting in this box for 10 years.
And it's actually worth money. I need to sell it. If you know anybody looking to buy one, please let me know.
How much is it? Is it worth?
I think a little bit more than I paid for it.
All right. Well, get on it, Tom.
You know what the problem is? I got to find a box this thing's going to fit in.
It's in a box.
No, that box is part of the collectible aspect of it. Tim, I ship it in that box. Where are you out of your mind?
Ship it in the box after it's already paid for. Nothing they can do about it.
No, they can, Tim. They can say, we're not going to give you that money anymore.
No, after they pay you, Tom.
Tim, due to the number of fans and the Rolling Stones' reputation as short-tempered hotel wreckers, 14 hotels in New York City turned them away in 1966. These guys couldn't get a hotel to stay in.
Mm.
But I just think about, like, man, imagine working in that hotel and, like, these fans show up and they're, like, fucking crazy. They're crazed. And you're like, oh, you're like, you're, they're probably all wearing, like, double shifts, like, getting into, like, physical altercations with fans and everything. And then they're like, oh, all right, finally these guys are gone. They go in their hotel room and everything's just demolished. That must have sucked.
Yeah.
Must have been like, these guys have ruined my life. Like, this is the hardest week I've ever had at work trying to stop would-be assassins from getting to these guys' rooms.
Wait, you thought all the people that showed up were trying to assassinate the Rolling Stones?
Not all of them, but I'm sure some of them.
Tom, how many people were looking to assassinate the Rolling Stones?
It only took one for John Lennon.
Yeah, and that was 20 years after Beatlemania.
It was outside the Dakota Hotel. Yeah, it was also a hotel, and probably by then they had gotten too complacent. They thought, nobody's trying to assassinate us anymore.
Yeah, it was one guy that was trying to assassinate him in 20 years.
The guy
years.
At Altamont was trying to assassinate him, too.
No, he wasn't.
The guy that the Hell's Angels stabbed.
Yeah?
He had a gun. He had a revolver.
And he was there to kill the Rolling Stones?
He was trying to get on stage with a revolver, so Tom, I wouldn't put it past him.
You're parroting the Hell's Angels side of the story here.
Yeah, well, they're good men. They're just wrongly looked upon by society.
Have you ever seen Give Me Shelter?
I haven't, no. I've heard the song.
Yeah, I know. You heard all about how it was written, too.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Cocksucker Blues?
Tim, very few people have seen Cocksucker
it's
Blues.
It's not true that very few people have seen it.
Are there bootlegs floating around out there? Can I watch Cocksucker Blues anytime I
I'm
want?
I'm sure you can get it on the internet.
Oh, yeah. I mean, should look. I tried to look on YouTube, but I think YouTube in general doesn't want anything with cocksucker.
Yeah, I was saying, like, if you search your pirate sites.
Yeah. Can you explain what it is for people that
it was a
might not be Stones heads like us?
It was a Rolling Stones tour documentary.
Tim, we're such big Stones heads that people confuse us with those guys from Easter Island.
That was a good joke, Tom. I enjoyed that.
It was a documentary, and that was also it was like there were just kind of cameras around, and the idea was like, hey, anyone want to pick up a camera and shoot whatever's going on?
Yeah, it was 1972.
Yeah. And it's surprising that people did, because the other things that were around to pick up and use were like heroin and cocaine.
Yeah, backstage parties. You could see Mick Jagger snorting cocaine,
mm-hmm.
roadie and groupie antics.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's funny because like
includes a groupie in a hotel room injecting heroin.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because it's funny. It also like a lot of the stuff that was taboo is like you can see him smoking grass.
Yeah. So the Stones really can't release this. And
which is very funny because it's like, well, what'd you guys think was going to happen if you were shooting heroin in front of a movie camera?
Right.
It's not like those things were quiet back then. It was somebody was like, oh, I'll discreetly film this this little candid scene. Let me turn the camera on.
Yeah. So it was directed by this guy, Robert Frank.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Stones were like, hey, you can't do this.
Yeah.
So
there was a rule about how the movie could be shown.
It could only be four times a year.
At most.
Robert Frank.
It was no more, no less.
Yeah. Robert Frank had to be present
in the building
for all of the. And it had to be in an archival setting, which I don't.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think that means like you can't be like Radio City Music Hall,
yeah,
Cocksucker
yeah.
Blues. I'll be backstage or whatever.
And of course, the lovely Rockettes.
Do it, yeah. No, I just saw a bootleg of it at the Kim's Video pop up at the Nighthawk.
Did you call the police?
No, it says, like, this is only to be shown with Robert Frank in the room on the cover.
Oh, really?
Yeah, as a
but
joke.
But they were sour.
Yeah, you know.
That's pretty funny. Yeah. Well, that'd be cool, though. You buy a DVD and Robert Frank comes over to watch it with you.
I bet he's long dead.
I mean, we have friends of ours.
Robert Frank, oh no, died, age 94 in 2019. Yeah,
well, nobody can see the movie anymore. We have friends of ours that that have a good story about like them getting to see a movie, like pre-release movie that I think maybe they were like part of in some small way, or but like a studio person had to like bring it on DVD to their house and be there while they watch it. And then they like got really drunk, like the studio person.
Yeah.
Not my story to tell, and I can't remember enough details about it to repeat it.
Cool story.
Tim, have you ever seen the movie Free Jack?
No. I've seen New Jack City.
Well, let me tell you about it after the plugs. If you like the show, you can find out more at tcgte.com. Check out all our social media links there. You can follow me on social media networks if you're choosing, at Tom Reynolds.
You can follow me at Your Pal Tim.
And check out our Patreon, patreon.com/completeguide, where you get books of podcasts every week. This week, we're wrapping up the book, The Time Machine. I keep wanting to say The Time Traveler, but that's a
he's the character in the book,
yeah. Yeah, well, no spoilers, but he's in it too. You get that episode, all the old episodes of Books of Podcasts for one low price. Patreon.com/complete guide. Tim, Free Jack. I remember seeing this movie. Are you looking it up? Is that what you're looking at?
Yeah. That's what I'm looking at on my phone. During the
it's
plugs,
pornography.
That's my time.
You should be to look at your phone.
Yeah.
All day I don't get to look at my phone. And now the
you know what, Tom?
Seconds,
I don't get to look at my phone all day.
You look at your phone all day.
I don't look
What's
at my
phone.
What's
your battery at right now?
My battery is at 59%.
Sounds like somebody's been using their phone today.
Tom, I'll tell you, my phone charging is chaotic. I don't
really?
I don't charge it overnight.
Night?
And I use my phone during the day. But like I don't charge it at night. I let it ride.
Uh-huh. Until it's dead and
yeah,
then
like,
you
I get
plug it
down
in?
Like it'll get down to like 9% and I'll be like, okay, and I'll like plug it in for like 8 minutes and it'll get up to like 25%. It's
no good for your battery health either.
Tom, I've had this phone since 2018.
Wow. If you want to keep it, you should be more careful.
I'm going to hand it down to my great-great-grandson.
It's fine. He's already alive. He's in college right now. I remember seeing this movie Free Jack a few times. This movie Free Jack's fucking insane.
Wait, you've seen the porno?
No, it's not a porno. I think it was 1992. It's because I'm fascinated by Mick Jagger's acting career.
Right.
And this is one of those movies. It stars Emilio Estevez, Rene Russo, I think Anthony Hopkins.
Tony Hopkins in it. Huh?
Yeah. And Mick Jagger. And it is about Emilio Estevez being a race car driver in 1992. Gets into this like crazy like Formula One style racing accident where his car gets like ramped into a bridge and, you know, just like completely annihilated. Unbeknownst to everybody else, at the moment of impact, Emilio Estevez is taken out of time and transported to 2009, where it is, you know, the far future, and rich people have people taken out of time right before they die, brought to the future so they can have their brains put inside those young people's bodies.
Hmm.
And Mick Jagger plays like kind of like the Agent Smith, like the bad guy, the heavy, like the one that's hunting him. Because like Emilio,
so he plays Victor Vasendek.
He does, yeah. That's he plays the Victor Vasendek of the movie. Because like Emilio Estevez's character, of course, like he wakes up in the future and, you know, runs away and he has to be hunted down. And I believe Mick Jagger does an American accent in it too.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Also in this film, David Johansson. Buster Poindexter.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's what I meant to say. That also Buster Poindexter's in it. Yeah, it's a real who's who of musicians.
Jonathan Banks from Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul.
Oh, I didn't know he was in it.
And as
Mike,
the role of newswoman, Jerry Hall.
Wow. Wonder if that's how they met.
No, they met in 1979.
A lot of people met on the set of Free Jack. I just remember like seeing bits of it as a kid. I feel like it was just always on in Blockbuster Video.
I've never even heard of it.
And just being so confused about what this movie was about. Anyway, I recommend it. Check it out, everybody, in honor of Mick Jagger's 80th birthday or something he'd rather you do than watch Free Jack.
He has since said he would have turned it down if he had been given a few months to read the script.
A few months? How bad of a reader he is. Is he? Bad of a reader he is.
All right, Tom, we've gone over. We'll do more Mick Jagger talk next week. Until then, happy birthday, Mike.
And hey, stay sexy. We all think you're very sexy up there on stage.
It is a sexy strut.
The older you get, the sexier that strut gets. We love it.
Skin and bones strutting around.
Scaring the hell out of everyone. Scaring the shit out of your young son.
See you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.